Morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Please turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament, chapter number 1. If you find the book of Daniel, keep going 5 more short books, and then you'll get to the book of Jonah. And while you find your place there, let me thank you, church family, for your prayers for us as we prepare to depart for Mauritius on the 9th of January 2019. Most of you know that the Surettes are returning to Australia because Brother Francois' continual medical treatment is taking place. He's already here. His family's joining him early December. And we have the privilege and the honour to relieve them for the time that they're here. So please pray for us as we prepare. But most of all, please pray for Brother Francois. He is undergoing a number of tests early this week. And then on Wednesday morning, he's going into the hospital to discuss with the specialist whether he can have, I suppose, what we would call a potentially life-saving operation. So it's a very serious week for him. And, of course, medical specialists that are reviewing his case no doubt probably already know whether they can go ahead with the operation, and we'll let him know on the Wednesday. So please don't wait till Wednesday night to pray. Please pray this week, and we'll be able to hear from him as soon as he knows. So that is certainly a need. We know that regardless of what happens, God's will would be done. And we can have confidence in that, but God's will for you and I is to pray. That's his will, and we know that, so please pray as the Lord continues to work in Brother Francois and his family's life. Well, the book of Jonah chapter number 1 is where we will begin this morning. Jonah chapter number 1. Let's read verses 1 to 3 and then we will pray together. Jonah chapter number 1, beginning in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for the Old Testament Scriptures that are given to us as an example, so that we may learn, Lord, truths for our lives, that we may be challenged and, yes, Lord, even rebuked as we would need it. And Lord, we know that being humbled and, Lord willing, being willing, as we heard this morning in our Bible reading, to humble ourselves is the only path to revival. Lord, please work in our hearts this morning so that, Lord, we may be used of you according to the potential, dear God, that you have in your power to use us as witnesses for thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I thank the musicians for accepting my request to play Rescue the Perishing this morning, because I'd like to just speak shortly on how Fanny Crosby came to write this wonderful hymn. As many of you know, Fanny Crosby was blind. She could not see with her eyes, but she certainly could see the desperate need of others with her heart. She penned many wonderful hymns, many of them focusing on salvation. And she certainly loved sharing the gospel with anyone who would listen. She penned Rescue the Perishing in 1869, and when she was asked about the song, she explained that it was written following a personal experience at the New York City Bowery Mission, where she would go once a week to witness to the boys, the young boys there, the young children. She went on to explain that she would go one night a week to talk to whom she called her boys, the ones that she witnessed to. One night while speaking to them, she kept having the thought that there was a boy present who had wandered away from his mother and must be rescued that night, or else he would be eternally lost. She made a plea to each boy that was there that night. At the end of the service, one of the young men came forward and said, "Did you mean me, Miss Crosby? I promised my mother to meet her in heaven, but as I am now living, that would be impossible." She prayed with him, and praise God, she led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. As they finished, he said, "Now I am ready to meet my mother in heaven, for I have found God." And that's why she wrote the words, "To rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep, O the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save." Thank God for a wonderful woman with a godly testimony as a witness. Now, as she wrote in that hymn, "Mighty to save, God is mighty to save," amen. Salvation can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't miss it, God uses his people to bring the name of Jesus Christ to the lost and the dying. And the Lord is looking for ambassadors this morning that will take the gospel message to the lost world in which we live. And you see, Fanny Crosby was one of those ambassadors. And I wonder this morning if you and I are such an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Could we say that we are as sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God could point out to us a person in need and we would know that's God's will for us to go to them and tell them about the Savior and see them wonderfully saved? Christian, has your witness gone cold recently? I know for me sometimes it does. You know, we know what God wants us to do, but the issues in life affect our hearts and we go cold. And perhaps we weren't the witness we once were. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever not been the witness you wish you could be? I dare say that's all of us this morning. And this month, the theme of the month is revival. And so this morning, we're going to look at the book of Jonah at a soul winner's revival. A soul winner's revival. If there was any soul winner in the Bible that needed to be revived, well, it was Jonah. It was Jonah. And God worked in this man's life and used him miraculously. In fact, more miraculously than perhaps any example we can find in the Scriptures. How ironic is that? Obviously, to show us an example of how much you and I need to be revived. And if we allow God to do that reviving work in us, my, what God could use us for. What results could occur for God's glory if we would simply allow him to do that. So let's look this morning at a soul winner's revival. And first of all, let us notice the call of Jonah. The call of Jonah is found in verse number 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Question, do you think Jonah was confused about what God wanted him to do? Yes or no? No. Friends, it was crystal clear. It was as plain as day. God's word came to Jonah, told him exactly what to do, told him exactly where to go, and God had called Jonah, and Jonah knew it. Now, very simply this morning, we need to understand that if we are children of God, if we are genuinely saved, if we are truly Christian, then you and I have the same crystal clear call from God. Arise, go, God said to Jonah. And God says to every Christian here this morning, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is God's will and plan and purpose and calling for your life and mine. Listen carefully, if you are not saved, you are not called to be a witness. You need someone to witness to you. But if you are saved, then you are called. There is no middle ground. There's no such thing as being saved but not called. That does not exist. Saved, not called, unsaved, not called, or saved and you are called. Where do we find that in the Scriptures? Well, we find it everywhere. But let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18.
God's call, my friend, is crystal clear. It is unmistakable. It is undeniable. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Actually, let's begin in verse 17. Here we find salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, this is someone who has repented of their sins and put their faith in Christ as Saviour and has been placed into the salvation of Christ, Christ himself, his righteousness has been imparted unto this newly saved soul. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What are some of those things that are passed away? But all those things that are passed away are all those things we used to live for. That purpose you had before you were a Christian passes away, and what replaces it, we'll notice the next verse, verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, what are the next words? The ministry of reconciliation. If you are a Christian, God has given to you, personally, the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Notice verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Friends, this is a crystal clear calling. Wouldn't you agree? Jonah's calling was crystal clear. But let's not forget it, before we blame Jonah for what he did, our calling is crystal clear. There is no denying it. We are ambassadors of God. Ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Well, he stands physically in the place of his sovereign, obeying his sovereign's wishes, is that correct? As if his sovereign was right there with him, in his manner, in his appearance, in his communication, he is to communicate the desires and the will of his sovereign explicitly and clearly to those before him. That's what an ambassador is. And what is an ambassador for Christ in verse 18? Well, we pray you, Paul said, we beseech you in Christ's stead. In Christ's place, we are to stand here on earth representing him as little Christ, beseeching, pleading with the lost to be reconciled unto God. That is God's calling for you and I. And how we need to be reminded of that this morning. Amen? How I need to be reminded of that this morning. Friends, we all need revival. Amen? Why do we need revival? Because we forget that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That is God's calling for you and I. That is our business in life. D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, one day was walking down a street in Chicago, and he saw a man just there on the street. And you know, his commitment was to witness to one person at least every day. And he did that even more so. And so he went up to this man and he asked him the simple question, "Excuse me, sir, are you a Christian?" And that man waved his fist in the air and he said, "That's none of your business." And then D.L. Moody said to him, "Well, in fact, that is my business." Amen? He said, "That is my business." And then the man replied to him, "You must be D.L. Moody." Well, he knew who he was. Wow. Would to God that we would have such a testimony, amen? Would to God that people who knew us would expect us to say what we're saying because of the witness we have before them. Some of them may avoid us for that reason, but would to God that they would. So they would expect something to come out of our mouths about the gospel, about Jesus Christ. That was D.L. Moody's testimony. We are ambassadors for Christ. Christian, are you fulfilling your purpose? This is your business. It is your business. Let us never be reserved or ashamed, because that's why God has us here. And by the way, if God's purpose for us here is over, you would be gone by now. The reason you are alive and breathing is because you are an ambassador for Christ. The moment you die, well, he has another job for you to do in heaven, amen? Where we'll serve him forever. That's another message. But we are here as ambassadors. The call of Jonah was clear. Notice the call of Jonah was specific back in the book of Jonah. You might want to put a bookmark there as we look at different verses. Jonah chapter number 1 and verse 2. Not only did Jonah, was he called of God to go, but he was called to go to Nineveh. It was a specific call. It was clear and it was specific. I know that's obvious, but again, we needed to be challenged and reminded about that also. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. His calling was specific, and friends, so is yours and mine. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, God's calling is not just general. God has called us to a place. First of all, if you were saved in this place, then this is the place where you begin. Amen? You begin to witness here in your Jerusalem. How can we reach all of the world at once? Well, we do that through faith promise missions giving. Praying for our missionaries, supporting them, seeing souls saved all around the world. That's how we reach out to the world if God has not called you specifically to go somewhere to another place. But God's will is specific. If you're here and you're here to stay, well, God has given you a mission field right here. You see, God told Jonah where to go. And we need to be sure about where God has put us. If it's here, then this is where you go. Amen? This is your mission field. We have to have a revived vision for where we are. Amen? You see, this community around us is our mission field. You can say amen. Your workplace, though you may not feel like it, and I know how that is, because you've got a job to do, and I certainly respect that, and God knows that, but your workplace is your mission field. You are not an ambassador for that company name, though you may feel like it at times. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And being a witness in your workplace, being a witness in your community, is your chief business, Christian. Why? Because this is God's calling. It is specific. If He's put you in a specific place, may God lift the blindfolds off our eyes and show us that there are people all around us that He has brought into our lives, and we are the one who is meant to go to them. Jonah didn't have Nineveh coming to him. No, God said, go, arise, get up off your office chair. Amen? Arise. And as comfortable as it might feel, as fearful as you might think the experience may be, tell them. Amen? Give them the gospel. Christmas time is a wonderful time to be a witness. It's a wonderful opportunity. There are thousands and thousands of those small Christmas tracts to hand out. Are you going to grab a bundle this morning, Christian? Are you going to take them into your workplace and ask God for an open door using an invitation to share the gospel? Well, that's why we're here. The call of Jonah is a reminder to us of God's call. It was clear. It was specific. Christian, where has God put you specifically to reach those souls? If you've been neglecting that need, well, God will remind you this morning. That's why we need to be revived. Amen? We become silent in the workplace. And that's not of God. If you have become silent, don't turn that into some sort of divine, godly purpose that, well, God just wants me to be quiet for a little while. And let them see my, you know, the way I eat and the way I dress. And friends, that never led anyone to Christ. That should be normal Christian living. But that's not a witness. To witness is to go and tell what God has done for you. Amen? And to be a soul winner is to preach the gospel about concerning how you were saved and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The call was clear, specific. Notice it was also urgent. Verse number two. Jonah chapter 1. Cry, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why? Notice what the verse says. For their wickedness is come up before me. My friends, God is a holy God. He is a God of justice. Because he is such, he must punish sin. He cannot just let sin go on forever unpunished. But at the same time, he is a God of mercy. He loves mankind. For God so loved the world. Amen. He loves mankind. He has provided salvation for mankind. But that doesn't mean his long-suffering will continue forever. You see, judgment is coming. Judgment was coming upon Nineveh. God was very patient. He was giving them one last opportunity to repent and receive his forgiveness. God is long-suffering today. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that time will end any moment. The Bible tells us for you and I as New Testament Christians that in the twinkling of an eye, that time will be over. Then the time of judgment would fall. The Bible says that God will catch away every single born-again Christian up in the clouds to be forever with him. But those who are left on the earth will go through nothing less than what we could describe hell on earth. 7 years of judgment. 7 years of judgment where, yes, some will be saved, but most will not. Most will die and go to the lake of fire and burn forever in a place of eternal judgment because they have rejected Jesus Christ. This morning we're reminded this morning that the call to be a witness is urgent. There is an urgency. The moment you think you have time, that is, you need to recognize that as a lie. You and I don't. There is an urgency. That person you know that we should tell about Christ is the one we need to go to next. Amen? There's an urgency. The world is dying and going to hell. And without Jesus Christ, there is no other hope. There is no other way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before God, the entire world stands in iniquity. We are all sinners before a holy God. He must punish sin. The wages of sin is death. And then death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We deserve God's full wrath and punishment. But thank God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be punished for us. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came down to this wicked, sin-cursed earth. And he shed his holy blood to pay for your sins and for mine in full on the cross. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. What does that mean? That means that the wrath of God was satisfied by the blood of Christ. That means that what Jesus Christ did on the cross was enough to pay in full for the sins of mankind completely, once and for all, past, present, future. Therefore, every single breathing soul has the opportunity to repent and receive the full forgiveness through his precious blood by faith. My friend, has there been a time that you became a child of God? Has there been a time that you personally repented of your sins and put your faith in what Christ has done on the cross and asked him personally on that day of your salvation to save you once and for all for your sins? Has there been a time? Has there been a time that you knew that you were a lost sinner headed for hell and that you acknowledged to God that you deserved his full judgment as a sinner? And then you were brought to repentance to turn from sin and turn to Christ and to trust him for your soul's salvation. Do you have eternal life? Do you know where you're going when you die? My friend, if you don't, judgment is coming. Then this is an urgent call for you. Judgment is coming. Today is the day of salvation. Don't make it tomorrow. Don't make it next week. Christ may come at any moment, and all that will be left in this church are the clothes of those who are saved, and then those who are not saved will be still sitting here. And judgment will fall upon the earth. That is a biblical reality. Christian, there is an urgency to the call. There is an urgency. And we need to be urgent. There was an urgency about what Jonah was called to do. Amen? Arise, go. That's an urgent call. Their wickedness has come up before God. Judgment is coming. And the same is set for you and I. The call of the Christian. As we continue on, notice what happens next in verse number 3. Verse number 3, we see that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now to us, this is amazing. It was crystal clear. And what did Jonah do? Well, he did the opposite. God said to go east, and Jonah planned to go west. Tarshish was towards Spain. Nineveh was towards the east of the Mediterranean. So he goes down to the coastal city of Joppa, and he books a fare, pays the price of disobedience. It's always going to cost you something. Pays the price to get on a ship to go in the opposite direction. The disobedience of Jonah. Now, before we criticize Jonah too much, we need to consider ourselves. I need to consider myself. Because so often, knowing God's crystal clear call, what do? Well, we do the opposite. We don't tell the one we're meant to tell. We walk in the opposite direction. So often we live for ourselves. So often we do the opposite of what we should do. And by doing so, just like Jonah, we are in disobedience to God. That's why, brethren, we need revival. We are in disobedience to God. You see, the only option to arising up and going is disobedience. There wasn't any other option for Jonah. He could pick any other direction he wanted, but every other choice was disobedience. Would you agree? That's just simple. You don't need that to be explained too much to understand it. He disobeyed God. But brethren, so do we. Why would he have done such a thing? Well, perhaps he was fearful. Because in verse number 2, it was very clear also that Nineveh was a very, very wicked city. And Jonah knew that, and God told him that. Their wickedness was known far and wide. In the book of Nahum, chapter number 3, another Old Testament book, we won't turn there, but it describes Nineveh as a savagely bloody city. A people who had killed so many enemies that there were endless piles of bodies on the streets. They would impale their victims upon posts outside the city walls in order to strike fear in the hearts of their enemies. They were a savage people. They were a brutal people. They were a violent people. And this was the place where Jonah was called to go. Hey, he may have thought he would have been the next one upon that post. That's what he could have felt. No doubt fear could have been one of the issues. But Christian, do you think that God would have accepted that excuse from Jonah if he was afraid? Well, he didn't. And neither with you and I. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power does not come from you and I. It comes from within. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Spirit of God will give us boldness to be a witness. The Spirit of God will change your personality, will work with your personality, no matter what personality you have, whether you're quiet, whether you're confident, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're loud, whether you're quiet, it doesn't matter. If the Spirit of God lives within you, that means you're saved. He is your boldness. If you're willing to obey. As you obey and walk in the Spirit, that's what obedience is, He will give you the boldness to speak up. Power and of love. The love of Christ constraineth us, Paul said. A love for Christ is what God has given us. A love for the dying comes from a love for Christ. A love for the lost comes from a love for Christ. Friend, do you love Jesus Christ? If you do, you will be a witness. You will love what he loves. Power and of love and of a sound mind. How can we have a sound mind? By our mind being filled with the word of God. Otherwise, my mind is unsound. If it's not filled with God's word, with his truth, then it's filled with a bunch of lies that will cause me to be afraid at every witnessing opportunity. How about you? Is that the same? Do we have the same experience? We're afraid of giving out a tract, especially to those who we love or care for or work with. We're afraid of doing that because how they may respond, what they may say in return. Hey, Jonah could have been afraid, but God did not accept that as an excuse. And neither should you and I. Here's a question. It just came to mind the other day. What if you were walking alone in a solitary place and God chose to, just for argument's sake, God chose to roll back the clouds of heaven. And God chose to reveal a vision of himself to you in all his glory. Imagine if you saw God face to face, seated upon his throne. Imagine if you saw God in all his glory and the angels of heaven worshiping him round about. Imagine if you saw the Lord high and lifted up. And God said unto you as a Christian, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If God said that to you face to face, and you saw him in all his glory, would you hesitate and be afraid to go, yes or no? No. Of course we wouldn't. And that's why you and I need revival. That's why we need to see God as he is, because that's who he is. But we only see him by faith for now. If we saw him, we would be deathly afraid. And we would rather, like the prophets of old, put our face to the floor and grovel in the dirt for the glory of his holiness. But God has given us the same promise. He is with us, always. And nothing can happen to you and I outside of the explicit will of God. No one can ever harm you or ever harm me unless God first allows it for a reason. So we are protected of God. Jonah was protected of God. He could have been fearful. Fearfulness is not an excuse, Christian. Unbelief is not an excuse. Hey, it was not only a wicked city, it was a great city. Nineveh was one of the largest cities in the known world. The walls of Nineveh were told to be 100 feet high, so wide that three chariots could ride side by side on top of the city walls. Some have supposed the population of Nineveh could have been anywhere between 600,000 to 2.5 million. We do know from Jonah chapter 3, it took him three whole days to walk through the city. Three whole days. This was a great city, not just a wicked city. And Jonah, perhaps in his mind, we're not too sure, could have said, this is impossible. You could have been afraid. You could have been living in unbelief. How could one person reach an entire city? God, that is impossible. I'm going in the opposite direction. And that's what you and I so often do. Lord, you can't use me to be a witness in the workplace. If I speak up, I'm going to lose my job. Then how do I provide for my family? Well, you're living in fear and you're living in unbelief. Amen? That's not a thought from God. Because God is able to do the impossible. The Apostle Paul knew that. Rome was the last place that the Apostle Paul wanted to go. If there was any place to avoid in the known world in his day was Rome, the capital of wickedness, the capital of an empire that was trying to destroy Christianity. And what did Paul say? He said, I'm excited to come to Rome in chapter 1. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, from the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, God has the power to do the impossible, Christian. And again, so often we forget that the power is not of us, but he uses us. Are you willing to allow God to use you in his power to be a witness for him? Jonah may have thought this is impossible. Often, too often, we think it's impossible. That discourages us from even going. causes us to go into a season of withdrawal. We'll call it spiritual withdrawal, hiding in a shell, pretending it's okay not to speak up. Maybe someone has said something hurtful to you. Maybe it's a loved one, and those are the greatest hurts, are they not? When a loved one deeply rejects you, separates themselves from you. In experience, that's the greatest hurt from experience. But again, that does not mean that God has stopped working in their lives. That does not mean that God won't bring someone else to water the seed that you planted, amen? Thank God you planted that seed. Let someone else water it. It doesn't have to be you, but please don't stop being a witness. Unbelief is a sin because of how great God is. He doesn't need to peel back the curtains of heaven. We have His promises right here. Amen? Either God has lied, and you can close this book right now and we can leave, or all His promises are true. It's either one or the other. There is no middle ground once again. Christian, we must live in belief. Yes, He can use you to do the impossible, but we must go. What about another problem? Selfishness. And that's certainly evident in this prophet's life. In chapter 4, we see the end of Jonah. And what do we see? Well, Jonah's just concerned with his own little world, isn't he? He's just concerned about himself. He's just concerned about his world, his feelings. He didn't like the Ninevites. Why? Because the Ninevites didn't like the Jews. They were the enemies of the Jews. So Jonah was a little bit of a bigot. That's what he was. He didn't like the Ninevites, didn't want to take the gospel to the Ninevites, and he despised them. Whether he was fearful, whether he was unbelieving, we don't know, but this we do know. Jonah was a picture, as it has been said, of the Jews as a people called to be a witness to the Gentiles, but a witness unwillingly so often. But may it not be said of you and I as Gentiles in this day, amen? God has called us to love the lost, to be like Fanny Crosby, to rescue the perishing because we care for the dying. Thank God for the one who arose up and went to you, amen? Who got up off their chair, got out of their comfort zone, and brought the gospel to you. Thank God that I was sitting in that pew right there, right behind Brother Chris. And someone turned around to me after one service and said, James, if you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure of a home in heaven? And I felt sick in my stomach because I had no idea where I was going when I died. And I pretended that I knew because I didn't want to be ashamed. I pretended that I was a Christian. I didn't like that person in that moment. But thank God she said what I needed to hear, amen? And I know it wasn't comfortable, especially if you would have seen the look on my face. And many times we allow the fear of that look to stop us. But thank God it didn't stop the one who witnessed to you, amen? And so our disobedience is no excuse. Jonah's disobedience was no excuse. Are you still with me this morning? This is why we need revival. Jonah needed revival. God was not going to allow this disobedient prophet to go his own way. Now don't worry, we won't be here all morning. We won't look through the entire book. But look with me quickly at the revival of Jonah. Verse number 4. The Bible tells us that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, so that there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. All right, now God is getting Jonah's attention. Here's the first sign. He sends a storm. Christian, God knows how to get your attention and mine, doesn't He? But so often what happens when God chastens us, and yes, He does, why? To bring us back to a place of usefulness. As an ambassador for Christ, He will chasten you and I to get our attention. And if we don't respond to the storm, He's going to have to send something bigger. That's what we see in Jonah's life. What was he doing while he was in the ship? Well, notice verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou? What does it say? O sleeper. What a picture of the disobedient Christian. while these shipmen were crying out to their made-up gods, just doing whatever they could and the best they knew how to cry unto the only gods that they knew, which did not even exist and could not even hear them, what was the witness doing? What was the soul winner doing? He was asleep. Friends, we live in a world where people are dying, going to hell. They know that judgment is coming in the conscience of their heart. They know that they are sinners. They know that the end may not be good. And they're crying out in desperation to the gods that they were brought up with, to the idols that they've grown up with that don't exist, but they're doing the best that they can. It's not their fault. Who's the one that's sleeping? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Christians, so often we are asleep. You can say amen. So often we're asleep. We need to awake unto righteousness, amen, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of truth. I say this to your shame, Paul said. It is to our shame if we're asleep. But, thank God, his plan is not removal, it's revival. Revival. He wasn't getting rid of Jonah. He was working on him, and he's going to turn up the temperature. So, in the end, Jonah was seen as the problem, acknowledged that it was his fault that the storm had occurred. He was cast into the sea. God prepared a great fish, the Bible tells us, in verse number 17, God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now, this is a horrific reality. There was no light in the fish. Have you ever imagined that? I'm sure some of you have. He didn't have a candle like in some of the Sunday school pictures just to show what it was like to be inside. No, he had no light. It was a picture of hell. That's how he described it. In the belly of this fish, was it warm? Was it cold? We don't know. There was complete darkness. No doubt he was soaked with all the entrails and all the unimaginable objects around him. It would have been horrific in pitch blackness. And the Bible tells us, as he prayed, he described his experiences. Verses 1-3. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine. What's the next word? Affliction. Would God afflict us if we don't witness as we should? What does the Bible say? Thank God he would, to revive us. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. That was his experience. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. So he was just overwhelmed with the floods of water around him within the fish's belly. Unimaginable and horrific. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me. This great fish took him down to the very lowest point of the earth. You see, revival begins with your willingness and mine to be humbled. Because you see, we don't realize how desperate our need is. We don't realize how desperate our disobedience is. Christian, when was the last time that you led a soul to Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you were a part of a sinner being saved? Some of you have never led a soul to Jesus Christ. Hang on a second. What's wrong with that? Now then, you are ambassadors for Christ. If we are not witnessing to the lost and being a part of someone's salvation, then obviously we are a rebellious ambassador. We're representing someone else, me, myself, and I. We're in trouble. In big trouble. And God will chasten you and I to get our attention, to wake us up, if you will, so that we can be restored from a place of usefulness. Look, sometimes God will give you what you want, young person.
You go chasing after your dreams. Don't think that God will just close the doors and that's the sign he doesn't want you to go in that direction. No, sometimes God will allow you, like Jonah, to go in the direction just to experience the consequences that will come. The leanness in your soul, I've experienced it personally. An emptiness and a leanness. And I think to myself, wow, am I really meant to be in this place? I thought that this plan of mine would work out. I thought it was God's will. But he allows a leanness to come into our soul. Why? Because we are not fulfilling our chief responsibility as an ambassador. So he can send leanness. He can send a physical affliction. Now, we all have physical afflictions. They're not always a result of disobedience. But he afflicted Jonah physically. Mine affliction, he said. Your affliction. Is it because God's trying to get your attention? Amen? So that he would humble us if we won't humble ourselves. Maybe he'll take away your comfort. You may have the comfort you want, but it doesn't satisfy. That's taking away the comfort, amen? Sometimes he'll have to actually physically do that, like in the case of Jonah. See, Jonah's being chastened. There's no doubt about that. But what you and I doubt is what happens in our lives. You know what we say? Lord, get me out of this storm. Lord, I don't want to be in this fish's belly right now. You know what God says? No, you need to repent of your disobedience, of not being a witness. Amen? When was the last time you repented and said, Lord, could you be chastening me because I'm not doing what you want me to do? Has there ever been a time like that? Or do you just try to crawl out of the fish's belly yourself? And he allows you to stay in it for a little while longer. Thank God, Jonah realized his disobedience. In verse 7, he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Amen? When you are at the bottom of bottoms, rock bottom, I pray it won't come to that. Sometimes it does. When you are at rock bottom, remember the Lord. Cry out to him. He is your God. He has a plan for your life. His plan is revival. Revival. And so Jonah remembered the Lord. And he prayed. And his prayer came up to God. God hears our prayers because of his mercy, not because of our goodness. Amen? He will hear your prayers from rock bottom, in the place of darkness, in the place of leanness. Jonah recognized the holiness of God. He prayed unto his holy temple. God is a holy God. When he chastens us, it's for a reason. He does so in his love. The book of Revelation tells us. And Jonah was being restored. He mentions the mercy of God in verse 8. Then he speaks of the salvation of God in verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Can you see a change in his heart? Friends, that's revival. This is not a prophet running away anymore. He's now been broken. He's allowed God to do that work. And he repented. And he chose to do that, to pay that which he has vowed, the calling which he has been called to do, and then acknowledged that salvation is of the Lord. Now, we won't go into detail, but Jonah repented. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and spit them out of the belly of the fish's belly. Amen? That's what happened to Jonah. Have a look with me in the next verse, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. May God not release us from his chastening hand until we are thoroughly revived from our disobedience in our witness. Amen? May he not let us go, because the potential is so great. In summary, Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached a one-sentence sermon, and the entire city, including the king,
in chapter 3, verse number 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Every single citizen of the city repented, put their faith in God, received his forgiveness, and were delivered from the judgment to come. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable, but that's what happened. And who knows what God will do in your life and mine if we allow him to revive our witness this month. If we allow him to do so, it comes through humility, repentance, and then restoration will follow. Christian, do you need to humble yourself this morning for rejecting and running from the crystal clear calling of God? Now, we all get busy, but the busyness of life is like a cloud, isn't it? That blocks out the light of God's truth. And all we can see is the stuff we need to do and the busyness of our lives and some of our responsibilities, and our life gets clouded by those things, doesn't it? All the details, all the stuff, all the appointments, all the activities and all the entertainment and everything our life is filled with. But is our witness anywhere in there? Who's going to turn up next Saturday morning? Hey, I've got the privilege of asking that since I'm coordinating. Who's going to turn up? Listen, putting something in someone's letterbox, that's even below ABC Christianity. Thank God for the freedom we have. I'm not undermining the value of doing such a thing, but that's basic stuff. If you can't be here on a Saturday for some perhaps explicit reason that it's impossible to be here, then friend, you need to be revived. Amen? If you can't put on some shoes and put some gospel tracts in our community's letterbox, that's basic Christianity. But that's how far we have fallen in our disobedience from the high calling of Jesus Christ. That's why we need revival. That's why we need to cry out this morning, Lord, forgive me for my rebellion and not being a witness as I should. That's my cry. What about yours? What about yours? What about this Christmas? Who are you going to give a gospel tract to? Are you going to reach out to anyone? If you don't want to, hey, revival begins this morning. Amen? Revival begins this morning. The message of the book of Jonah is ultimately not about Jonah. It is about the love and the mercy of the long-suffering God that we have, who is long-suffering today and is looking for an ambassador who will go. Will you be used this Christmas to be an ambassador for Christ? Let's not criticize Jonah for running off with the message when we do the same thing today. Let's stop running from God. Let's humble ourselves this morning. Amen. Christian, how is God working in your life? Are you willing to allow him to humble you this morning? Let me encourage you to let God have his way. Jonah didn't really need to reach rock bottom, would you agree? Not that low. That was pretty extreme. It doesn't have to be that way with you and I. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Yourself. Humble yourself. And he will exalt you in due time. There's a time that we need to be down there. That's what that verse means. In due time, exalted. So that means we need to be down there for a while. The starting point is this morning, perhaps. To simply admit to the Lord, forgive me for being like Jonah.